Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 766, Elvis and Priscilla. The book is called Elvis and Me.
Oh, this is a book?
This was based on a book. This was based on Priscilla Presley's autobiography about her time with Elvis.
Then I got questions.
Oh, I got questions.
Yeah.
See...
guacamole.
I know, right? Like, it's funny when when you were talking about, like, is this going to be an hour's worth of conversation?
Yep.
And I was like, yes. Yes, it will.
I was shocked.
Yeah,
we'll get into it.
Yeah, I'm like, there is a lot to unpack. Yeah.
Yes,
so,
there is.
And who better to unpack it than two men, right?
I was driving home today, and I was like, man, we are the wrong demographic to be reviewing this movie.
So my thought process at first was I was going to be like, well, maybe I'll see if Crystal wants to, because Crystal saw it with me, but she wants to do one of her big runs today. So I was just like, well, I can't ask her.
Fine.
To give that up to do this. Like, that seems like I've really missed the point of the film.
That's true. Right? Hey, I know you've got this really important thing you want to do. By the way, I need you to do my other podcast.
But you need to focus on my stuff.
Correct. Yes.
If you want this marriage to work.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally missed the boat on this movie.
Yeah. So so let's go around the virtual table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
And this is Tom. That's it. So Kevin is out this week, so it's just the two of us. So
yeah.
So before we dig into all of that, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeart, TuneIn. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. Super helpful. Greatly appreciated. You can also find us on the Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and the easiest, cheapest thing you can do to help us out is to share an episode of the show. And people who were kind enough to share an episode in their social media feed last week include Richard Kratzer, Julianne Jordan, Gus Batisi, Jason Weese, Ralph Tribble, who recently got married. Congratulations.
Hey, congratulations, Ralph.
Gabriel Lugo, Tammy Lynn Powers Betts, Travis Tewitt, Chris Falls, Chris Sanders, Chris Magic Man, a Chris hat trick. We haven't had that in a while.
Yeah, the trifecta.
Tom Dowdy, Glenn Cougar Mellon Brewer, Dissect That Film, Taylor Ward, Heather Sachs, Josh Rosen, Podcast in the Woods, Invasion of the Remake. How are this Podcast in the Woods getting power to record.
We don't question.
Or Wi-Fi. I have questions, podcast.
That's fair.
Lewis.
That's fair.
Yeah. Colby Mack, Spoiler Piece Theater, Geek to Me Radio, Mike and Oscar, The Film Bee, Feelin' Film, Binge Movies, Ronnie Castle, Ryan Terry, Epic Film Guys, Matt Naglia, Nostalgia Cast, and Session Film. So thank you.
I had to think about what we did last week. That's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people. So yeah, Five Nights at Freddy.
Yeah.
Bringing the heat. So
that's true.
Also, don't forget we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, and we like you extra. So
yeah, there's all kinds of good stuff in there. There's Halloween-y stuff if you don't want to let go of the season just yet. there's lots of interviews. For those that don't know, like I did interviews with the Radio Silence guys. So the people that did Ready or Not.
Well, that sounds like a boring interview. Do they even talk?
Just not at all.
Radio silence the whole
time.
My
back hurt from carrying that conversation. No, that's not true. They were great. But they obviously did the last two Scream movies. They did Ready or Not. So there's an interview with them. Dustin McNeil, who's an author that did a bunch of Halloween books, is there. And then there's all kinds of random. I think Kevin and I did a commentary track for Batman 89. A local DJ, Learn, who's on 105.7 The Point's morning show. And I did a commentary track for The Crow. So there's all kinds of stuff on there that you won't get on the main feed.
Awesome. Also, don't forget we're on YouTube. You can watch these over there at youtube.com/@realspoilers. Awful.
Perfect.
Awful URL.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I looked at it the other day and I was like, man, that is annoying.
Yeah. It's so dumb to say. Yeah, like right. So anyway, there's all that. Let's dig in to Priscilla.
So before we get this thing started, I do kind of want to bring up, if I remember, I saw an article. Is Priscilla alive?
Yes.
Okay, but Lisa Marie's dead.
Correct.
Got it. Okay.
Lisa Marie has passed, and so has...
If you say Elvis, I'm going to punch
you. Yes, Elvis. But, or has he?
Oh, he just went home.
Yeah. But, so she had another son from another marriage after Elvis, and he also died.
Oh, dang. Okay.
Yeah.
So there has been an article recently where Lisa Marie did not like the way her father was portrayed in this movie.
Yeah, apparently she got a script ahead of time and was not a fan.
But how long has this been kicking around then? Because how long ago did she pass away?
I mean, she wrote the emails or whatever, from what I read, like maybe 2 months before she died.
Okay.
And she did not want them to make this movie, and her argument was that to modern audiences, this is going to look real bad. And it's like,
she's not wrong.
As a modern audience member,
it looks real bad.
It looks real bad.
Yeah,
it looks real bad.
The only reason I bring that up is because Shannon Lee, who is the daughter of Bruce and Bruce Lee, had a huge problem with
the daughter of Bruce and Bruce Lee.
Meant to say Linda, but came out Bruce and Bruce.
I was like, I'm not trying to question people's life choices. I don't know that that's biologically viable.
Not. I guess you could adopt. Biologically, you could adopt. Yeah,
you could adopt. Yes.
But Bruce and Linda Lee had a massive
that
problem.
Brings up a hang on, sidebar, counselor.
Yeah, I'll allow it. You got, but you have to do it in the voice of a Southern lawyer. I like, say your honor.
Like Brendan Fraser, I will scream my next question.
That's exactly right.
If you're gay,
okay,
is it weird if you end up dating someone who has the same first name as you?
Oh. I mean, it's probably not weird, but it's a fun conversation starter.
Yeah, like that would be
Chris and Chris.
You're gonna moan your own name? Like that's kinda
You know,
it's
sometimes no, never mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's true. That would be like, who are you talking to?
Right.
Like, are you putting in the work or am I putting in the work? What
right.
are you doing? What,
yeah. You know. Is this, are you rooting me on or is this just positive self-talk?
That's exactly, or it could be both.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, it just
it's
made me think about that for a
that's
moment.
Fair.
So.
That's the way our brains work.
Yeah.
But Shannon Lee did have a massive problem with how her father was portrayed mm-hmm. in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
And comparatively, she kind of looks like a crybaby.
Brother?
It's like all Quentin Tarantino did was make her dad look like kind of
a pompous jerk.
Right. Yeah. Where here you got like narcissistic, rapist, abusive.
It's funny how different the two portray the is it Austin Butler? That's yes. who was in. Yeah, it's funny how different these two performances are, and it all has to do with how the character is written, right? Like in Baz Luhrmann, that's who did
Elvis.
Yeah, in that one, he's the hero. Right. He's the guy that came up from the revivals in, you know, wherever he's from and worked his way up and had all these mountains to climb over. And this one, your life's not that bad. You know, like they make, you know, I think in the other one, you know, like he goes to war and he's fighting and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And this one, they're like, no, he was just living in like he was in the army.
He was in the army, but he didn't actually see battle.
Hell no.
They like used him as PR stuff. Yeah,
he was like their Captain America, and I say that in the most general of terms because let's be honest, he had his family in Germany, he had his friends, he had this swanky house. Like he wasn't fighting anybody.
No,
and I will say I did like the way they. I don't know how tall the kid that played Elvis is, but. The way that they made him, I mean, he towers over this woman.
I don't think the height disparity is quite that great in real life, but I think
that was a choice.
I feel like it, I mean, I think it was a happy accident that they steered into, right? Because I think it made sense, like, to really, like, as a metaphor of just how much he loomed over her.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I think it's eerie. She looks almost identical to the girl I dated in high school and college. Now, the girl I dated was of age. Just going to put that out there.
But you were not.
Yeah, right. we were a year apart. It's fine.
Yeah.
But as every time I saw her, it was like, it is creepy how much she looked just like this person. I'm not going to say her name.
Well, hat tip.
Thank you.
Well,
you know what? Her name is Stephanie. Nah.
What's her social security number and her
488? No, I don't know. but I actually like that is because it does give a different view, and like I don't know how much was exaggerated, you know, from Priscilla's point of view. Because it's obviously her story. She's telling her story. But she was 14.
Right.
When Elvis got his mitts on her.
And he was 24. There's a 10-year age difference. So.
It's so strange how that changes as you get older.
Yeah.
You know, like obviously you're not illegal, but.
Right. Like 44 and 34, you're like, well, it's
totally
a little
fine.
It's a little high, but like not the end of the world. And if ever, you know, like that, not, you know, I'm like, I'm 8 years older than my wife. Right.
Yeah.
But I also didn't meet her when she was 11.
Correct.
So
there's the difference.
Right. But it's funny because it's like, I think there used to be this mentality of like, well, if you end up married, it kind of retroactively makes it okay.
I don't know, man.
I know. I'm not saying it does. I said the first part of that sentence was there used to be
this
mentality. I will also say he is from backwoods Tennessee.
That's okay. Yep.
And you know, born in the 30s.
Yep.
And I know lots of people my age, if you start doing some math on your grandparents, it's going to get real squicky real fast.
There was a hilarious meme going around about former famous comedian Dane Cook. Mm-hmm. And I think the joke was that, you know, he posted something, I married my longtime love, blah, blah, blah. And somebody was like, long time? Well, I hope it was more than 5 years or whatever. Like, just from the age gap between the two. You're just kind of like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a smart man, but I can do a little bit of math.
Correct. Yeah.
That ain't adding up.
Yeah. But yeah, so, but even back then, people were looking at this with some serious side eye. Like, there was a lot of conversation in the media at the time about her being a Lolita, which is also
isn't a Lolita like someone that breaks up a marriage, though?
No, like a Lolita is like, an underage sex vixen that that lures a poor middle-aged defenseless man into making bad choices, right? Like so even calling her a Lolita, while it acknowledges the age difference, it still blames her.
Correct.
Right? Like but you're still the problem, teenage girl.
Correct.
Yeah.
How dare you exist in the world?
Yes.
And this man can't help himself around you.
Yes, it's so, yeah, so, and it's also weird, like, it opens with, you know, her in Germany, her parents are in the military, and another military member is basically trying to procure her.
Well, like, with everything that has happened in the last 2 years, with the Epstein thing, 2 years,
sorry,
a fly just flew into my eye.
I think it's more like four at this point, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Dang. COVID.
I know, bro. It did.
This plot point where Priscilla is minding her business in a diner, doing homework, and this guy just like out of nowhere, this army dude saunters up and he's like, hey, do you want to meet Elvis? Because he'd really like to...
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't say that, but he's got, like, even though Elvis does not have sex with her at this point.
Is that so? That's a plot point I do want to talk about when we get there.
Okay,
is like the way he kind of just waves her off constantly,
right?
And I'm curious as to if that was real.
So obviously, there's only two people that know the answer to that,
correct?
And one of them is dead,
correct?
And the other has said for years. Priscilla Presley has never wavered from this story that they did not have sex until they were married. But I think the movie downplays just exactly what they were doing. You know what I mean?
Oh.
He does
at one point say we can do other stuff.
Right. And so this is a quote I found. This, according to her account, Elvis told Priscilla that they had to wait until they were married before having sex. He said, and this is a quote I'm assuming from the book Elvis and Me, I'm not saying we can't do other things. It's just the actual encounter. I want to save it. Priscilla adds, quote, fearful of not pleasing him, of destroying my image as his little girl, I resign myself to the long wait. Instead of consummating our love in the usual way, he began teaching me other means of pleasing him. We had a strong connection, much of it sexual, the two of us created some exciting and wild times. So
I don't like the way that sounds at all.
I hear that as lots of blowjobs.
I was thinking the five hole.
I mean, maybe that too, right?
I mean, that's like, yeah, that's but, why that it's all it's just it's so bad.
Yeah,
like
it
there's
is.
No there's no like I said this other guy is like, hey, Elvis would really like you. Would you like to come to this party? And she's like, and it's tough because she's a teenage girl from the United States and I use the word teenage very loosely because she's probably only what 13
she's 14 she's 14 in yeah. this opening segment in Germany,
right? And the probably the biggest star, movie star, musical act in the world.
I don't think it's a probably. I mean, he is the biggest star in the world. Yeah
like, because did he do movies before he goes to war, or are the movies after the war?
I believe. I don't think he ever goes to war. He joins the army.
He goes to Germany.
Yeah,
yeah.
I believe he did a handful of movies before he left.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, you know, that was part of what he was upset about, was that his movie career was starting to take off, and this really put a hamper on everything.
So what happened to George Reeves?
Yeah,
he came back and he was Superman. And that was it. Game over.
Yeah. He was in From Here to Eternity.
It was Gone with the Wind and From Here to Eternity, right? Those were the two? Or was it just From Here to Eternity?
I don't remember Gone with the Wind, although he might have been. That sounds familiar now that you say it. But he
played the twins.
Okay. Well, that would have been before, because that's Gone with the Wind is 39.
So they think he's going to be a big star.
Right.
And then he goes to war, or he goes to Germany as well.
Yeah.
He comes back and he can't get work. and he becomes Superman, and then he really can't get work.
Yeah.
And then he's Superman for, until the day he died.
Right.
But yeah, okay, so like the everybody knows that he's there. Everybody knows that Elvis is in Germany. And when this guy's like, come hang out at this party, and she's like, well, I have to talk to my, like, no.
Right.
I have to talk to my parents. And this is the part where I was like getting angry in the theater.
Right.
As the father of two daughters, one of whom is only 2 years younger than Priscilla.
Right.
At this point.
Yeah.
There's no way. No way. That
you're gonna let her go to Machine Gun Kelly's house.
I was trying to think of like someone equivalent, but like
Harry Styles.
If well,
he is awful dreamy.
He is awful dreamy. But I was just like, you know, Post Malone or Drake, right?
Right.
If one of those two guys were like, "Hey, I want to hang out with your daughter," it's like I'm gonna punch you in the face.
Right.
Like, there's no way. And the fact that both of these parents were just like, okay.
Well, but they at least the way the movie depicts it, they were certainly both very conflicted. Like neither
but
of them
agreed to it.
Were a huge fan of it. But like I also get the enormous amount of pressure you would feel if
sure.
like if your daughter's like, "Oh my God, this is my favorite person in the world. Can you please let me do this?" Like that's a hard thing to say no to. I will also say, and it also based on the movie, it doesn't seem like they ever came and said, "We'll cut you a check, we'll change your
That's
life."
That's true.
Like it doesn't. Like my thought was going to be like they sold their daughter, and
right.
And
didn't we see something where that happened? Didn't we see a movie like where they? I could have. Man, it's been.
It sounds familiar, but we see a lot of movies around.
That's
here.
That right, right.
Yeah. But so anyway, at least the way the movie portrays it, they did not like. Auction off their daughter, right?
Correct.
Like they yes. definitely seemed to be driven by they were feeling guilty about their daughter really wanted to do this, and they felt that, you know, they didn't want to tell her no. So she right. goes to a few parties. I think what he kisses her once or twice, and
yeah, and then he gives her, and it's very interesting because the way, and I'm not a huge Sofia Coppola fan, mm-hmm. but I appreciate that she's a very talented director and she's got a very specific eye for film.
Yeah, this is a great looking movie.
It's a great looking movie.
Overall, I thought this movie was kind of boring, and
I thought it was kind of middling. Is how I felt about it.
I think the problem is that ultimately this movie is about loneliness, and the only thing more boring than your own loneliness is watching someone else's. And so
that's true. She does make her feel, and she is. I think she is in real life in her such very isolated.
Yeah,
by design,
mm-hmm.
right? Like I think yeah. Elvis locked her down for. And that's the other part that does kind of, it's mind boggling where Elvis does find her attractive and mm-hmm. he does kind of lock her down as a person. But at the same time, he's Elvis and he has these relationships with Nancy Sinatra and Anne Margaret and whoever else, you know, whatever, you know, star is next to him.
Right. I mean, the story connected. Has always been that he had sex with every one of his leading ladies, but
correct.
One, and that it was always like, but one was so they all had plausible deniability if they right. wanted to say it. But we all know the one was Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, that totally makes sense.
Well, especially if you remember the movie she was in with him, because no. she plays a nun. So it's the only female co-star that the movie didn't have a romantic subplot around.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Because she's a nun. And so, but yeah, so the prevailing
who it is.
the prevailing wisdom has always been that Mary Tyler Moore is the one that he didn't have sex with.
That makes sense. I can see that. So it is interesting that he and maybe it's just a possessive narcissistic thing where he's like,
so here's what I think was at play is, and again, I'm not an Elvis expert all I know is what I've seen in these movies, but based sure. on what I see in this film, this dude had a major Madonna horror complex.
Oh.
And like women were good for either being on a pedestal and squirting out your babies or you get to do any filthy thing you want to them, but those women are trash.
I think that's a fair statement.
And so I think part of the reason he plucked Priscilla Presley from obscurity is at such a young age is because he knew that at that point she had been undefiled.
That's fair. I can appreciate that.
And then he puts her in a cage and in case of marital emergency, break glass. And
there's a go ahead.
Oh, and so like
I think you're right.
Yeah, like, and I think that's why you see so much weird, like, I want to have sex with you, but I'm not going to have sex with you. I think it's why he waited until their wedding night, even though he did all these other things. Like,
that's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, like, I think he was very conflicted about how he felt about her because he was attracted to her, but he also wanted her to be this other thing. And in his mind, she couldn't be both. So what do you do with that? And so, like,
nothing good.
The irony is, like, he waits until they're married to have sex, and I think long term that might have been more harmful than if they had just had sex, right? Like,
oh, not probably.
when she was 14.
You mean harmful to Priscilla?
Priscilla, yes.
Sure. Oh, well, yeah, because like it put with her head.
Right. Like, yeah, and I'm not saying that it would have been better if he had sex with her when she was 14.
No, but
although I will say, like, what he does to her ends up being pretty psychologically traumatic, even if to this day she doesn't really acknowledge it. It sure seems like it would be. Like, I won't
sleep with my wife, but all of my sexual conquests are on the front page of every entertainment magazine, every entertainment rag that exists. And now this, I don't want to downplay, she's a girl. So, and she's a girl, and I say this with the utmost respect, like, she's feeling things that she has never felt, you know, those feelings that she has, you work through and you grow up with your boy, like your first boyfriend, the jealousy and like all of that stuff.
They're presumably at the same level of maturity to where,
right.
Yeah. To where like you're supposed to be kind of figuring this out together where, like, you know, she's little league and he's varsity.
Yeah, he's playing in the majors and she, right. You know, I think it does a lot of damage, especially when she's got to look at him being, you know, a cheater on the front page of all of these papers. And,
You
know, you can probably get away with saying it's a publicity picture. It's for the movie. Like,
oh, these tabloids, you can't trust them. But it's like it. But at some point, like, you know, like there's a lot, you know, out there. Yeah. So so she doesn't talk to him for like 2 or 3 years. Like, he gets transferred and
back to the States. Right.
I think I don't know, but he's still in the military though. And then, so she's like lovelorn and her parents are like, look, this dude has moved on. Uh-huh. You need to let it go, but she can't. And then
because he's Elvis. There was a moment when she was like writing in her journal or whatever. And I was like, come on, dude, like just let it go. And then it's like, oh wait, like,
right.
It's Elvis. Like,
yeah.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. And so then out of the blue, he's out of the military. He calls her and wants her to come to Memphis. And so, but now she's 17. She's a senior in high school and she basically pressures the parents and they cave and let her go.
Again, like no way,
but
no way.
Okay.
The parents did have a good point though. Before we get to that, I do want to say that I did appreciate the way they subtly snuck in the drug use.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately with him, and it's like when he does it the first time, which he's basically giving her uppers,
right,
to keep her awake at school,
which the military gave to people back then.
And he says that he's like, so we could go through night moves. And I was like, the Bob Seger song, I love that.
Yeah. Oh, he's gonna go through some night moves.
Yeah, that's true. But I do appreciate that, like, initially when he gives her those pills, it's not in a bad way. He's not trying to get her addicted to drugs. But it is like such a simple thing where it's like, just take these to stay awake and you'll be fine.
Right.
And then he accidentally gives her too much sleeping meds, and the poor girl's asleep for 2 days.
He gave her 2 500-milligram tablets of something, some drug that I don't think they make anymore.
Some sleepy drug.
Yeah, some of this now it's used exclusively as a horse tranquilizer. Yeah, and she was out for 2 days, and I looked it up. That's true. Like, that's
that's like, crazy.
Honestly, from what I can gather, it seems like almost everything that you see in this movie is pretty accurate to what she describes. Like, if anything, they've toned some of it down.
Wow, that's even more terrifying.
Yeah.
But no, to your point about the parents agreeing to send her to Memphis, the mom, they're having a conversation, and Priscilla's out of the room, and the mom, one of the two of them say, look, she's going to go, and we're not going to be able to stop her. So we can either say she can go and just let it happen, or we can not say and possibly ruin our relationship with our daughter, because she does say, like, you're ruining my life.
I think, like, people who are only casually familiar with the situation, they know Elvis met her at 14. And when they hear she goes off to live with Elvis, they hear a 14-year-old went off to live with Elvis.
Right.
And it's actually like a 17-year-old went off to live with Elvis. It's still squicky. Like, I'm not making excuses for it, but what I am making an excuse for is that if you're a parent and you have a kid who's 17 and a half, and they want to do something you don't like, you know that if they're really putting their foot down and digging in right. 6 months, they can just walk out and do it. And now you've got no relationship with your kid. Like, what choice? You kind of don't have a choice at that point.
And especially when her person of interest / boyfriend is Elvis Presley, who has
all the money in the world.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, limitless money.
This isn't a guy that works out at the gas and sip that says, come live in my parents' house with me.
Right.
You know, where you can kind of shut that down, because it's like, well, we're not going to provide any support. How are you going to do it? Right?
I think of that guy from what was the Jason Sudeikis, Jennifer Aniston flick where they're the fake parents.
Oh, yeah.
No regrets, huh? Not a one. It's like, yeah, no regrets on his collarbone. Yeah. Not one, huh? All right.
But yeah, like, they're like, this guy has all the means in the world. He can.
Yeah.
He can send her a first class ticket tomorrow and she can be gone. And so, like, I get that at that point, as a parent, you kind of hold your nose and you let them do what they're going to do.
You hope for the best, right? But I agree.
On the flip side, he also is going to offer her access to opportunities that she would never have otherwise. So, like, you're also weighing that. I mean,
it's not an easy situation as a parent, and especially a parent in, what are we looking at, like 19,
was what, 50? I guess it's probably, she was born in 45, so yeah, it's probably 1961-ish, 62-ish.
I think it's 60, the only reason I think it's might be 63 is because there is a calendar.
Oh, that's right.
Rolls through. So she goes, and he is Elvis, right? Like, he's got his posse around him, his little clique. They're going out to bars, and of course they're taking this 16-17-year-old girl out to bars. It's funny, I bought these tickets late, and which is on me, and I didn't see what the theater looked like, because it was sold out. I went to the Draft House, and this place was packed. They were also showing the Taylor Swift movie, so take that for what it is. But I couldn't see what the demographic was of the theater goers. The scene when Priscilla comes back from Memphis and gets off the plane, and her hair is a mess and she's got makeup running down her face. There was an audible laugh from, like, a lot of, and I don't know if she was playing it for laughs, but, like, it got a giggle out of me, because she left this pristine
right
girl and she comes back and looks like a wreck.
Yeah, like, I didn't laugh at it. My theater didn't laugh at it, but I was like she might not have Elvis, but she came home looking like she did.
Yeah,
like,
yes, yeah, like, just, she, like, looked makeup, like, running down her face.
She looked like he was nailing her on the way to the airport and threw her on a plane and sent her home.
See you later.
Looked rough.
And I like the look of the parents, where the parents are like, oh, Jesus Christ, you know, and they're both of them are like, absolutely not. Like, this is it. You got, you know, this is it. We're done.
Right.
And every time they say this is it, they're done. And she tells Elvis, like, my parents aren't going to allow that. Let me talk to them. Let me talk to them. So now Elvis is saying, come live with me in Memphis. We'll put you in school. We'll get you in the, you know, the best Catholic school we can find. And you'll just stay here with me. And of course, again, the parents are like, what's happening? No. Like, what is happening right now? And then somehow Elvis charms the parents into agreeing to let her go. And now we are off to the races with this Priscilla and Elvis relationship, because he has isolated her. And they don't really say, I'm assuming she has friends, right? Like, she's a kid. I'm assuming she's got friends in school.
It sure doesn't seem it based on this movie. I mean, now she's in a whole other country. Well, and
oh, I guess that's true.
And also keep in mind, like, it looks like they had just moved to Germany at the beginning of this movie. Because there's a line where she's like, you know, she's like, you should hang out with your friends or something. And she's like, I don't have any friends here. Like, they're all at home.
That's true.
And so then she goes to Memphis, and he puts her in school, but like, nobody wants to talk to her. They're all talking behind her back. And anybody,
don't you think they would want to talk to her?
Well, but that's the flip side of that equation though, right? Like, anybody that wants to talk to her because they want to meet Elvis.
Sure.
And so it's like really difficult for her to form friendships, because you're immediately skeptical of anyone who befriends you, because you're,
that's a good point,
you don't know their motivation.
Well, and I think you do know their motivation,
right? Like, yeah. And so, like, you even see her finally exploit that when she's trying to pass that test, and and like, the girl next to her knows all the answers, and she's like, want to meet Elvis?
Right,
you know.
And then, there was another point when she goes to visit Elvis for the first time with the women, and I use that term on purpose. The women that are around are like, hey man, she's a little young, don't you think?
I mean, she's kind of a person, you know, a man with no nation, right? Like, just
sure.
Because the kids her age only want to interact with her to meet Elvis. The other women that she's with are like, you're a child. And even they're like, it's weird. Like, I know it's not, like, they're like, I know it's 1963, but dude, that's weird.
That's weird.
Like, that's not, it's not
okay.
Cool. Yeah, no, it's not okay. If I had Twitter, I would be hashtagging you right now.
Hashtag not cool.
Right. And so she really doesn't have anyone. You see her kind of befriend the women that work there in the office. Like, they're nice to her.
I thought that was going
to
turn into something.
I think it would have, but then Elvis's dad shuts it down because he's like, they're here to work. You leave them alone. And
you would think that, she's also, again, she's 17. I thought she was going to say, shut up. Like,
if she had the ability to say shut up, this would be a very different and shorter movie.
That's true. Now they're in Memphis, and he's living the rock star movie star life, where it's not that he's unattentive, and he is kind of, but he's busy.
He's attentive when he wants to be.
That's fair.
She is a toy that he takes down off a shelf and plays with when he's in the mood. And when he's not in the mood, he goes off and plays with other toys. And
I gotta tell you, Anne Margaret is a not a bad toy to play with.
Not at all. Yeah, like, that's... No.
I remember seeing her... What was she in? Was she in the second Grumpy Old Men?
Yeah.
Right?
No, she's in both. She's in both.
Okay. So she, she's the one they're both after in the first one.
Right, and then I think in the second one they introduced
Sophia Loren.
Sophia Loren. I was thinking it was Raquel Welch, but
either way, both great choices, and still looked fantastic.
Yeah.
In Grumpy Old Men. So she's living this solitary life. Elvis leaves her a dog as like a, you know, and it's interesting that even the people that are around Elvis are like, I don't want this broad around here anyway. Priscilla's minding her own business, playing with this dog in the front yard. And this woman, I don't know who this woman was. She pops up every once in a while, kind of says like, stop drawing attention to. Does she say stop drawing attention to yourself or stop drawing attention to Graceland? Because
I don't remember, but yeah, she's playing with the dog, and then the people are loitering around the front, and then they're like, oh, that's Elvis's maybe girlfriend. And,
right. And then this woman's like, get out. You need to start paying attention to what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, no, like if that, and I have no reason to say that it's not, if that was her existence, that seems awful.
Yeah. But also on the flip side, doesn't Graceland have a backyard?
Like, also thought the same thing. I was like, why don't you, okay, just go around to the back.
Go to
like,
the backyard.
It's fine.
Like, there's no way. Like, where were they going when they're shooting their guns and riding their golf carts? Go play with the dog there. Yeah, like, that's fine. Not. Yeah. This seems like a easy problem to solve.
There's a line later in the movie that I thought was great that gives an idea as to the hubris of Elvis.
Yeah.
Is they have all of his buddies have a jukebox and they see a Beatles song on there and he's like, a Beatle? What's a Beatle? Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And it's like, well, those guys are going to kick the shit out of you in about 1 year. And
right.
You will be,
it's by like,
the way, a new Beatles song just came out.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
weird.
It was pretty middling, I thought.
It was, but it was still like, it's 2023,
it's still cool.
And a new Beatles song just popped up.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like what you did to Frank Sinatra, like they're about to do to you, except they won't turn around and have sex with your daughter.
I was just thinking the same. Like, yeah, not only did I end your career, but I also hooked up with your daughter.
Yeah.
Publicly.
Well, he didn't end his career, but he obviously, he signaled a change in what was popular. Like,
correct.
Obviously, Frank Sinatra still had hits during that time period, because that's when he kind of reinvents himself with the Nelson Riddle Orchestra.
And
you start getting like Come Fly With Me,
it's
and stuff
song.
Like that. Yeah. And but he obviously he segues from being like
the number
popular,
one guy.
Popular music for the kids to being more of what we would term today like an adult contemporary act.
That's fair. Yeah. He was the Michael Bublé.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So there, you know, she is just trying to find her place and it is not going well because A, he's gone all the time, because again, he is making music and he's starring in movies and he's, you know, doing all that stuff on the road where she has to, he keeps saying, what does he keep saying? You got to keep they do have some
the
really
home
good
fires light. Burning.
And she, and I like where she's like, the fire's real low.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's a good line. Like, I like that line a lot. But there's, he will constantly, it's one of the things that I did like by the end of the movie is he threatens to like kick her out. He's constantly like, I'm going to kick you out. You're done. And when she, you know, the first time she's like, kind of breaks down and he's like, okay, I'm sorry. And the last time we see, she's actively like, she is pregnant.
She's in her third trimester. And again, for everything I can tell from my minimal research, sounds like that is absolutely true. Or at least Priscilla says it's true. Like, you know,
sure.
Like obviously he's not around to give his side of the story, but like that's not something that the film made up. It is based on information provided by Priscilla Presley.
And I think he's already been caught in another affair with Nancy Sinatra, I think, again.
I think it's the Anne Margaret one that really upset her, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, because she said that they were engaged. Like, Anne Margaret in the press was like, they're engaged. Like, why would you say that? I was like, oh, you put a ring on her finger. I don't know. Why would you say that? And the way she plays it this last time where he's like, I just think we need some time apart. And she was like, okay, just tell me when you want me to go. And turns around and walks out. And I was like, she's figured it out.
Yeah.
Like, if I don't play into his wackadoo game, he's going to come right back. And I was like, it's an interesting character turn for her where she figures out his bullshit. Basically the run of this is her being isolated, him being a scumbag and doing like, you just go through these different versions of Elvis where he gets way into like
spiritualism,
like the
kind of road the Beatles went down with, you
exactly,
know.
Exactly.
And she's just like so bored with it. She's like, please,
it's a great scene.
Please stop making like. Apparently, he would keep her up late at night just reading to her from these books, and she was just like, oh, sweet baby Vishnu,
please
kill me now,
sweet baby Vishnu.
and then he stops because Colonel Tom Parker is finally like, this needs to stop now.
So
he's like,
do you think, as you're watching this, I think she may have called the colonel and said,
I don't know. Like, she,
can
I
you
mean,
tell him to stop, please?
It's so hard to gauge because it doesn't seem like she has. I mean, Colonel Tom Parker's only ever mentioned in this movie and one or two times. And yeah. So I can't really get a handle on whether or not she had any real relationship with him at
That's all. That's fair. That's fair. You I know? Just feel like she has that blow up with him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the things are, the colonel says, throw that away.
Right.
And he's burning books and.
Yeah. Which they did.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then, so he does have, now I think we're full blown into, and one of the things about the Austin Butler movie is they hammer down on the drugs.
Yeah.
Like they were just pumping him full of, kind of like Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. is they were just pumping him full of whatever they needed to keep him going,
yeah.
and to keep that cash cow flowing. So even Priscilla says, look, I think we're done. Like, I think the pills are too much because they have like a pillow fight. And of course, Elvis takes it a step too far and cracks her in the face.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's it. Like, I, you know.
And from what I read, after the pillow fight in real life, she had like an eye patch for like 6 weeks.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it, like, if any, like I said, if
Can't
anything,
really
the movie,
hide that.
The movie plays it down. Like,
yeah. He, in this movie, he pops her.
Yeah.
Like, he winds, you know, there's one thing to wind up with a pillow, but there's another thing to wind up with a pillow. I think that they finally, he proposes and they get married and you see all those pictures and and that's the problem with this movie is it does kind of just become like her walking around the house.
Yeah. Like there's not a lot, like the protagonist has almost no impact on the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until literally the last scene of the movie.
Well, I think that there's when she says, I'm going to take. So she has Lisa Marie. There's a moment where they are doing a photo shoot. Lisa Marie looks like she's probably like two in this scene.
Yeah.
And rather than wanting to go with her mother, she wants to go with the nanny because she's more attached to the nanny because the nanny is doing all the stuff.
All the mothering.
Yeah. The stuff that Priscilla should be doing.
Yeah.
So there's a moment while they're doing this photo shoot where Priscilla realizes that she is losing her daughter as well. And she says, we're going to move to LA. That's what we're like. They're going to LA. I'm taking Lisa Marie with me. And Elvis is kind of heartbroken, but also like, yeah, whatever. You know, he does the whole,
yeah.
I made you, like I gave you all of this and
right.
Yada, yada, yada.
So I just find this interesting. I'm scanning the Wikipedia. This is on, I have three Wikipedia entries open, one on the film, one on her book, and then one just on her.
Okay.
This is how it says for the marriage and pregnancy. Shortly before Christmas 1966, Elvis proposed to Priscilla after being reminded of the record contract's RCA morals clause by his manager. Priscilla suggested in a 1973 interview with Ladies Home Journal that she and Elvis were quite happy to just live together, but at that time, it wasn't nice for people to just live together.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, that's another part. I think that, put that in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I think that just gives another layer of that he doesn't really, he might love Priscilla, but she is just there when he needs to use her for whether it's the morality clause or whether it's, you know, for the Madonna effect, whatever, not the other Madonna, this Madonna.
Yeah.
The religious Madonna.
The religious one. Yes.
Right.
The one that started it all.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could say the other one. But that's pop music. That's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
So she goes to LA and she starts to live her life. Like she starts seeing, they don't say this, but it's definitely obvious that she is seeing her karate instructor. The way that they kind of play that relationship.
Are they seeing each other or are they just kind of into each other? Like I couldn't get a beat on that.
It could be the latter. It could absolutely be the latter. Just the way they were interacting and the way she kind of like touched his arm or his elbow. And when they were having this conversation with this
to the Wikipedia.
Yes.
Following disruptions from Elvis, Priscilla began taking lessons from Mike Stone, a karate instructor she met in 1972. She soon began an affair with him. Priscilla states in her book, "My relationship with Mike had now developed into an affair. I still loved Elvis greatly, but over the next few months, I knew I would have to make a crucial decision regarding my destiny."
And she does. Yeah. They touch on the special that you see in the Baz Luhrmann movie, the whole black and red jumpsuit, and it's this massive hit, and it reignites Elvis's career. And now he's setting up a residency in Vegas, which we see, you know, we know all this stuff.
Right. From the other movie.
Correct. Yeah. And it's in Vegas that I honestly didn't remember when he died. So I was like,
he dies in 77, I think.
But in Vegas, right?
I don't remember where he was at.
I feel like he was, because at the end of that movie, they show his last performance, and I feel like he's in Vegas. When I could be wrong about that, but I thought the way that was shot, I thought he was in Vegas.
Gotcha.
But there's when they finally consummate the relationship, and the maid is putting food by the door every, you know,
yeah,
whatever. There is a peanut butter and bacon sandwich, and I was like, "Hey, man, that's
a peanut butter and banana."
Oh, I think. Well, that
it was
could be.
Well the sandwich he's famously associated with is peanut butter and banana,
but fried.
Maybe I don't.
It's,
know.
Either way, real good. But I was like, "Hey, man, you might want to watch those because you gonna die, on a toilet, no less." Priscilla is there in Vegas, and Elvis sends like a host basically to go get her. And she was like, "Well, this is weird. Like, he doesn't usually go to his room in between shows." She goes up there, she's checking on him, and he attacks her.
Yeah.
And she fights him off, and she's like, this is ridiculous. I'm done. This is it. Well, you and I are done. I'm leaving the marriage. And he's like, "Is it for another guy?" And she was like, "No, man, it's for me." And this is the most character development we get with her, where she finally stands up to him, and he realizes he's screwed up, and he can't talk his way out of this one.
I feel like this scene really downplays what happened. I mean, because first off, no
downplays
marriage,
their relationship.
Downplays what happened in that moment.
Sure, sure.
Because
sure.
First off. I remember saying this when we were leaving the movie to my wife. I was like, no marriage in the history of marriages has ever ended with, "You know what? I think I'm ready to leave. That's a shame, baby. Maybe in another time and place." And then I walk down the hall to my new life. Like,
correct.
That, like, that's it? No.
No. So much more to that.
Because I said to my wife, like, "Look, you and I have both been divorced. That ain't how you wrap it up. Like, nope. It gets ugly. Even if,
and especially with him, right?
Yeah,
it's gonna get ugly.
Especially with him. But like, even if a couple ends up amicable, that actual moment is gonna be ugly, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, like,
and when I say with him, I mean like this emotionally stunted man child
who gets what he wants, and
always
you're his possession. And
right.
So, like, this is from the Wikipedia. She says, "My relationship with the karate instructor had now developed into an affair. I knew I'd have to make a crucial decision." She later states, "Elvis must have perceived my new restlessness. A couple of months later, she said that Elvis had requested to see her in his hotel suite. It is there she wrote in her book that Elvis forcefully made love to me, as he said, 'This is how a real man makes love to a woman.'"
And that's what he says.
Yeah. And then in a later interview, Priscilla said that she regretted her choice of words in describing his actions, because like people were like, "Honey, that's called rape."
Right, yeah, yeah.
And so now she's trying to walk it back.
Okay.
And then I thought this is interesting. She states in her book, "He had mentioned to me before we were married that he had never been able to make love to a woman who had a child."
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm like,
that's a choice, I guess.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
But yeah, I just... like, I don't buy this breakup scene, you know?
No, it feels like that to me, it feels like we got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
And we're just going to let her walk off into the sunset. And that's kind of what they do.
Is yeah.
She walks out of that hotel room. He accepts the fact that she's leaving, in the movie at least. He accepts the fact that she's leaving and taking his daughter with him. I vaguely remember in the Austin Butler version, this scene kind of happens, but he's like getting on a plane.
Right. They're at an airport in front of a plane in a limo. Yeah.
And it
seems like post-divorce, it was relatively amicable.
Oh, sure.
So, again, from the Wikipedia, this is interesting, the divorce agreement. The couple agreed to share custody of their daughter, Lisa Marie, and Priscilla was awarded an outright cash payment of $725,000. Remember, this is 1973.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, as well as spousal support, child support, 5% of Elvis's new publishing companies, and half the income from the sale of their Beverly Hills home. Originally, the couple had agreed upon a much smaller settlement, $100,000 lump payment, $1,000 a month in spousal support, $500 a month in child support. Priscilla was keen to make it on her own and prove that her marriage to Elvis was not about money. After consulting her new lawyers, her demands increased, pointing out that a star of Elvis's stature could easily afford more for his former wife and child. And then it says, Priscilla and Elvis remained close, leaving the courthouse hand in hand on the day of their divorce.
That's because Priscilla got paid.
Yeah. But obviously Priscilla Presley is still very much pro Elvis, right? Everything we see in this movie, she throughout her life has been very protective of the brand. Her and Lisa Marie were very involved in the Baz Luhrmann movie.
Interesting. Okay.
And they did lots of press for it, and they were, and I think that's part of why Lisa Marie was so upset about this movie. I think she kind of felt like, hey, we just did this big thing to be like, yeah, Elvis is a good guy, and this is going to completely undo that potentially.
This is on the same level as Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah.
And I
think Priscilla looks at it as like, well, this happened and I still love him, but he did do these things. And I think Lisa Marie was like a little bit more savvy.
That's fair.
Recognizing that, like, yeah, but like, I get you've made your peace with it. But if you present this to the public as new information in 2023, because for most people or a good chunk of people, it's going to be new information.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like, and there's probably a lot of younger people that saw the Elvis movie that maybe have been like, oh, Elvis is really fun and cool. And then they see this
like,
and they're
no,
like, well, now we have to cancel a man who's been dead for 50 years. Right.
I'm not going to do the whole bit. There's a comedian named Shane Gillis. You probably recognize that name. He was going to be on SNL and then a joke popped up that got him off of SNL. He does a hilarious bit about seeing George Washington, like a George Washington museum.
Yeah.
Go find it. Cause it is exactly what you just said, where they lead with all of this stuff. And at the very end, they hit you with something. You're like, well, I was feeling pretty good about George Washington. Now I save that to the end. Okay. All right. It just kind of ends. But I do wonder, going back to the Shane and Lee thing, if there's just a degree of hero worship, and I think that makes sense. It's your dad, right? And
sure.
It's a dad that you probably didn't know very well. You know, Shannon was a baby, like a baby, because Brandon was a toddler when Bruce Lee died.
Right.
So the only thing that Shannon, and I'm not trying to shit on Shannon Lee, the vision that she has of her dad in her head is her dad. Where I feel like Lisa Marie's probably in the same boat. She was, I mean, what? You said he died in the 70s.
She would have been about 10 when he died. She was She was born in 68. He died in 77. So
okay.
She's going to have some memories, but not tons.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I think that there's a degree of that that comes into play when you're talking about somebody's dad and the, kind of the things that they, and Bruce Lee, and I'm not saying Bruce Lee did anything. Right. But, you know, he was a badass and he probably was a little bit pompous, but at the same time, that story is being told through the lens of Cliff Booth.
Right.
Where it's, you know, it's not the real, it's Cliff's remembrance of Cliff's memory of Bruce Lee, not how he actually was.
Right.
This movie, on the other hand,
is supposed to be how he actually was.
It's firsthand experience.
Yeah. And I will say, like, not to wave away all this with the whole, it was another time.
Sure, sure.
But I will also say that, like, a lot of these issues that he was having, Madonna whore, like, that didn't, like, that wasn't even really recognized as issues people would have.
Oh,
right?
Sure,
like,
sure,
like,
sure.
So, like, it's not like that was a syndrome that you could even be aware of, that you could identify in so many words as to,
I think it was
why
just
you had these things that were really upsetting you and you had no verbiage to,
it's how he was raised, not making it right, but
for
it
sure.
is just how he was raised.
It also makes me wonder, seeing how much he got into reading these books about spirituality, like, had he lived, what he might have gotten into in terms of, like,
Jim,
like,
Jones.
Yeah, like, wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, that could go either direction, right? Like, he could go into a really weird religious territory like that. I could also see him getting very into self-help and
going down that
rabbit hole of being like, oh, man, I shouldn't have been like that. Like,
yeah, that makes
sense. You know, but obviously we will never know. But
we will never know.
Yeah. So anyway, overall, like, the movie itself, it's a great-looking movie.
Yeah, it's beautiful-looking.
And the performances are solid. I thought the Elvis was okay. Like, I appreciated he wasn't trying to just do a flat out impersonation of Elvis, because that can get tiresome and very cartoony.
And it did in the other movie.
Yeah, like, I mean, I thought he was good, but it was also like, it's hard to, like, because that's how Elvis was. Elvis,
sure,
was
sure, sure.
Kind of, you go back and watch very much actual Elvis, and it gets kind of cartoony. So,
this guy was the number two pick to be Superman. He was.
Oh,
the,
was he?
Yeah, he was the guy right behind the David Cornsweat.
Okay, yeah, he's on Euphoria. I don't know if you've watched.
Oh,
that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's the douchey football player whose dad is into trans underage kids. Yeah, so
that's a mouthful.
Yes, yeah. You mean the trans underage kids or the subject itself?
The subject itself. Yes.
Okay. Euphoria is just nightmare fuel for parents.
I got through season one and I was like, I don't know. Like, it's a very good show.
Yeah,
it's well done. I don't know if I can keep going.
I totally get it. We finally finished up season two, but it took a while. It's not a show you can binge. I'll tell you that. You can't. You can't watch like three of those in a row. You'll just.
No.
Yeah,
you get one. You're like, all right, I'm gonna go watch Invincible.
You're like, it's like you just got done running a marathon. You're like, hands on your knees, taking deep breaths. You're just like, I'm gonna need a minute.
Yeah, right.
I'm
right.
Gonna
right.
need a minute. So, yeah.
But no, I agree. I think it's the performances are fine. It's a beautiful looking movie.
It's
fine.
Just it's kind for all the crazy stories being told.
Correct.
And I get that she didn't want to sensationalize it, that she want, but I will also say the movie's kind of sterile and that it has this sort of antiseptic vibe that sometimes I'm like, I don't know which side the filmmaker is on. Like, it's presented
That's fair.
So matter of factly that it's hard. I'm like, am I supposed to be outraged right now? I'm not entirely sure.
Or am I supposed to be rooting for the Hollywood star to fly the 14-year-old child out to LA to hang out with them?
Yeah. It's also interesting that she had to work around the fact that they couldn't get the rights to any Elvis songs.
I wonder why.
Yeah, the Elvis estate was like hard pass.
Wait. Isn't she the estate? Isn't Priscilla the estate?
No, it's like, I thought that too, but I looked it up, but it's not. I thought maybe like it had reverted to her with the death of Lisa Marie, but like it's
okay.
But that's not how it was structured. I don't fully understand.
You know,
that's
an interesting question. Who has the rights to Nirvana? Does Francis Bean have the rights or does Dave Grohl have the rights?
My guess is Kurt's portions are owned by Courtney Love.
I don't think that they are.
I mean, she was married to him at the time. So,
I guess
like,
that's
she,
true.
You know, like that. So, I would think that those would go to her unless he had written something saying otherwise.
Well, that was always the, if you have any of the conspiracy theories, that she he was going to divorce her and take everything and say, you don't get any of that. And then all of a sudden he died.
Right. I
take that for what it is. But
yeah.
You know,
but, but anyway, it's odd at times just how kind of hands off the movie is being, and I think that she being Sofia Coppola is trying to not sensationalize it, but perhaps she overcorrected.
That's fair. Yeah, you know? I would agree with that. I would agree with that completely. Yeah.
So anyway, that's it for this one. I guess we will go around the virtual table and we will say where to find ourselves.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21, and at Letterboxd at the same.
And this is Tom. You can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Dewey dies 3 minutes after his final performance.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's gonna ruin the plot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.